Welcome back to Hitch Route. All right, we recorded our AFC preview, and now it's on to the NFC. This is going to be an interesting conference, I'd say. I think Super Bowl contenders seem to generally be in the media favoring the AFC, but there's going to be an NFC team in that game no matter what, and the Rams just came off the Super Bowl. So it's really exciting to see what's going to happen in this conference, and I think there's still a lot of interesting movement that happened this offseason. So I'm going to break it down. This is Alex, and I brought on a friend of the pod, Cade. How's it going, Cade?
Hey, Alex. How are you doing?
Doing all right. My franchise, you know, is pretty bottom of the NFC, to be realistic. But I do like – I have optimism about what we're going to do.
I admire your optimism. My franchise is in a very similar spot. I'm also optimistic about our chances, but I guess we will see what happens.
I still have to thank you for that, you know, because if you guys didn't draft J.C. Horn, it's very possible Justin Fields couldn't have ended up in our lap.
I mean, I think Justin Fields, we at least would have given him some people to throw to. You've currently just given him some traffic cones with name tags, but I mean, I'm happy that you're happy.
All right, then. That's fair, I suppose. I suppose DJ Moore is, in fact, a human being, as is Robbie Anderson. A little lesser of a human being, I suppose. But, I mean, I like Darnell Mooney, you know? I mean, would he be a wide receiver one on most offenses? Probably not. But, you know, he is a diamond in the rough, honestly, I think. And I think the chemistry between him and Fields is pretty great. But, you know, how about we just dive right into the NFC North and to my Bears now that this has happened? You know?
Sounds great.
I think we are going to be clearly the worst team in our division, and that's okay because the Lions have done a really good rebuild, and now it's our turn.
I think that it's your turn to rebuild. I think that you will be far and away the worst team in your division. I think
Wow. The
Lions will be pesky. And I think you will be in contention for the number one overall pick this upcoming season. So
I don't think we're going to get it. I mean, a preseason game is a preseason game, but we shellacked the Seahawks. We destroyed them in the preseason.
The Seahawks will be contenders for that number one overall pick. The Jags are always in the conversation. And, you know, if the Browns – I don't know what the Browns will look like. I think they got a great roster. But if the Browns have a bad year before Deshaun Watson comes back, maybe they just blow it up and get one more good pick.
It's possible that they blow it up. But I can imagine that in the six games alone with Deshaun Watson, they could win as many or more games than the Bears did all year.
I think that's a fair assessment.
There's a lot of divisional games at the end, so it's going to be a little iffy to see how exactly it plays out. But, yeah, it's not a year to think the Bears are going to make the playoffs. And, you know, I don't think they should. I very much believe they should try and gut it out and find the pieces that they want moving forward. Really sucks how good our pick would have been because, you know, we traded this pick away for Justin Fields. But you got to nail the QB. So it makes sense why we did it. It just hurts when it becomes, what, the fifth overall pick or something?
Yeah.
And they drafted Kevon Thibodeau with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. But if Fields is it, you know, it doesn't really matter. It makes more sense for us to have finally had a franchise QB. The first one I could say we've certainly had since Sid Luckman. Perhaps Jim McMahon could make
that is a sentence that somebody has said out loud, America. That is a sign of the state of the Bears.
QB has just not been our footing, you know? And Jim McMahon made the Pro Bowl, but, you know, there was a pretty great team around him. In either case, I like Fields. I'm closer to loving Fields than liking Fields. And I like Mooney. I love Roquan. I'm not 100% for sure we're keeping him, honestly. But, you know, I have to put faith in Poles and Eberflus to right the ship and move things forward. And, you know, with this really high pick, we'll have, ideally draft a dynamic playmaker on offense. A lot of rumors and talk is about drafting an Ohio State wide receiver. I don't really care for this trend in the NFL. It's like, ooh, this guy played with him in college. Clearly, the chemistry is going to go off. Like, you know, kind of how ended with Trevor Lawrence recently, and also the Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, but that was phenomenal. So maybe that's the proof of why he should do it. In either case, Bears are going to suck, but I still love them.
To turn our attentions towards the top end of the division, I've got my hot take. Are you ready? We're like 10 minutes in. I'm coming with my hot take.
All right.
The Vikings are going to win the NFC North. The Vikings will be your NFC North champions.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to say that the Lions were going to do it.
No, I couldn't quite get there. I thought about it, but I couldn't quite get there.
Yeah, no, I think it's the Vikings too, but I'm also a Packers hater by default, so I could be biased. I just don't see Aaron Rodgers. Well, first of all, Aaron Rodgers is not going to win a third consecutive MVP. That would be absurd, especially considering his lead receiver is what? Alan Lazard?
Alan Lazard. Or if you believe the training camp hype, maybe Romeo Doubs.
RIP Christian Watson, man.
I think Christian Watson is going to be totally fine, but I don't think he's going to come out the gate hot like some of these other rookie receivers are, and I think that's going to put some pressure on him. I think he's got the things you don't want to see. Like, he's got the things that would scream bust sometimes, like good physical tools, not necessarily the stats you would like, but I think he'll put it together. I think Rodgers will get him where he needs to be. It'll just take him a while to get up to speed.
Okay, but do you think he has a higher ceiling than, you know, Doubs? Because Doubs has been looking really good in training camp.
I think he's got 100% a higher ceiling than Alan Lazard, and I would imagine he has to have a higher ceiling than Doubs. Whether he reaches that ceiling is a different question. I think Doubs probably has a higher floor. But I think Alan Lazard's just another guy. I don't think he's anything special. So the number one spot on the receiving depth chart is open to be had by anybody.
Fair enough. And we've seen a lot with rookie receivers, you know, quickly climbing depth charts recently. They've been, boom, here, we're starters now. And, you know, I just don't like to think that that's going to happen, but Aaron Rodgers is, in fact, very good at throwing the football. So if any QB can bring it out of his players, it's probably him. So, yeah, they'll still be an interesting team. And obviously they have Aaron Jones and the A.J. Dillon. But, yeah, I agree that I think the Vikings just have at least a bit more.
They've got a bit more. They finally have an offensive-minded head coach coming in. Maybe he can unleash Kirk Cousins, but at the very least, not hating Kirk Cousins will be a start. I like Mike Zimmer. I think his time had come to an end, so I'm excited to see what that offense can do.
Yeah. So was it just a head coach change, or was there an offensive coordinator change too?
I think they changed basically the entire staff. I'm sure they have some holdovers, but I think they overhauled everything.
They have a new GM too, so it makes sense that they changed a lot of things. They're not rebuilding, they're just cleaning house, which is different. And obviously it's a very nice house now that you have Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, still a pretty rock solid wide receiver too. Defensive side of the ball isn't great, but, you know, defense has become less important in the NFL. And I think even if the Packers defense, you know, is better, I still don't think it's like a great defense. They played very well. I think they play above their caliber, but I just don't think, like, on paper they're like really that good of a defense, considering they also just lost to Darius Smith. But they, you know, they have Kenny Clark, they have Jair Alexander. They have some guys. They have some good guys for sure. And Rashawn Gary is a big name as well. But yeah, the Vikings don't really have that on defense anymore, which is weird because for a long time defense was pretty important to their identity. But with how good that offense looks like it will be, it doesn't really need to be great, especially since it's as bad as their defense might be, relatively, it is still the second best defense in the division. And yeah, that's kind of all that matters.
I think as long as they can avoid a backslide, I think they'll be in good shape to win the division. I think the Packers' offense is going to take a step back. I think the Packers' defense will probably be about the same, but I don't think Matt LaFleur winning 13 games a season is like sustainable. Not that he's a bad coach. I think he's a great coach, but 13 games a season is a tall order for anybody.
It's a very tall order, and also there's just going to be more pressure on the Packers' defense than ever. So it's just they just didn't need to be on the field very much, or at least it wasn't as dire because their team was almost always up when they were on the field. So yeah, it'll be interesting. And then, of course, we have the Lions.
Detroit! Detroit! Rise up, Detroit! How you feeling about them Lions, Alex? You feeling it? You feeling a playoff run for the Lions?
I'm feeling them now, Mr. Krabs. I'm feeling them now.
Bro, Detroit, rise up. They got to get to the playoffs for Eminem, man. Eminem hasn't had anything to cheer for in years. Come on.
Man, that's true. Do you have this tie to a Detroit that I don't know of? Or are you just, you know, because you're wearing your blue today, you feel especially connected to them?
I just have love in my heart for any long-time downtrodden franchise besides the Falcons. So, you know, the Lions, because they're a divisional rival, and just, you know what? Screw the Falcons. I'll say it. I'll say what everyone's been thinking. They choked against the Patriots in the Super Bowl the one time I rooted for them. Like, they can never get their act together. That's on them. They had their time to earn my allegiance, and they didn't. They failed. They folded. So, Detroit, like the Jags, like any team that sucks most of the time, I will always have a soft spot for. So, hopefully, this is the year Detroit can get out of purgatory. I'm all in on Dan Campbell. I'm all in on Amon-Ra St. Brown and his family of wonderfully named players.
Of them's a bear. One of them's a bear.
Oh, which one's a bear?
Equanimeous.
Oh, Equanimeous. They also have what's his name? Osiris St. Brown.
Osiris, maybe.
Osiris?
I don't know the spelling, but Amon-Ra is Egyptian, and Osiris, yeah, another Egyptian god.
Oh, is it pronounced Osiris? I knew it's Egyptian. Honestly, Equanimeous is a great name, but he's got to feel left out that he doesn't have an Egyptian name.
Yeah. That's why he's coming to the Bears, to prove that even though he's not Egyptian, he'll still walk like one.
Facts. God, I love that. Nice.
I mean, at the end of the day, the Lions for me, you know, I can't speak to your Falcons situation, considering how often they screwed it up. But, like, with the Lions, they were just so bad for so long as when I was watching. I came in at the precarious time right after when I'm in my fandom, when after Stafford made any even momentary appearance in the playoffs. Like, I was gone for the Caldwell years. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's just like thinking about how bad they've been. And even when they made the playoffs, you know, they've had no success. They're still one of only, I think, two teams to not make a... They're two of the teams, besides them and the Browns, to not make the Super Bowl when they were in the league since the very beginning of the Super Bowl era.
And what's funny is I'm pretty sure both them and the Browns had at least one, maybe multiple NFL championships before the Super Bowl era started.
They were great before the Super Bowl. It's weird. They were great. They were great, you know? And also the Lions have had legends like Barry Sanders and Megatron, and both of them retire early because Detroit is a hellhole, and they didn't want to be there any longer than they had to.
I mean, I can't blame them for that.
But yeah, I do like where they are now. We also forgot to name, you know, DeAndre Swift looking like an elite running back out there. Their O-line is so much better. Their defense has a long way to go, but, you know, they're building something. And Dan Campbell is definitely, to some degree, a culture hire. I don't know how great of a play caller he really is, but, you know, play calling isn't that important when you're not going to win a lot. As a stepping stone for them, I'd say.
I think they took the right approach that more teams should do, which is they kind of got rid of all pretense and said, we're going to play our rookies and our young guys, and we're going to figure out exactly what we have and if we can coach them up. Because a lot of these teams that are in rebuilds will still play, like, if not good, at least like veteran players who don't make as many mistakes. But then you don't know what you have at the end of your bench, and you don't know who you have to replace, and you don't. So I think that was very wise by them. And hopefully it pays off. I think they're going to need to address the QB position sometime here very soon, but I like the other pieces they have in place.
Jared Goff was a first overall pick. How dare you disrespect him in my video call?
Jared Goff is a very nice guy, so I apologize for what I'm about to say. He is a bum. He's a bum. He's always been a bum. Sean McVay got like one like good year out of him. But he just can't he can't contribute at the level you need a QB to contribute in this league. So I think he got locked down in the Super Bowl in the biggest game of his career. He's been locked down basically every other game besides that one season. So I would hope that they turn to someone else. But maybe he'll prove me wrong. Maybe he'll have a resurgent year and finally throw the monkey off his back that he can't succeed without Sean McVay. We'll see. I doubt it personally, but I've been wrong before.
You have been wrong many times, for the record.
I don't know about that, but I've been wrong at least once before. I think I remember
okay.
that.
Okay. I think we can compromise on saying maybe you've been wrong a few times. At least.
Okay. I'll meet you there.
Okay. So, yeah, that's about it for the NFC North. Let's go to your division.
All right.
Do you want to dive into your team, or do you want to save the best, quote-unquote, for last?
No, we can do the Panthers first. We can just get it out of the way, rip the Band-Aid off.
All right.
I don't think we're going to be any good. We've got interesting pieces. I think Baker is better than advertised. I think we can be frisky. I don't think we're making the playoffs. I'm just running out the clock on Sam Darnold's contract. The only thing that's important to me is beating the Browns week one by 40 or more points. That's all that matters to me. If we go 1-16, but we beat the Browns, it was a great year in Carolina.
Nice. Do you think that Baker is the best QB you guys have had since, you know, prime Cam?
So we've had non-prime Cam. We've had Darnold. We had like one or two games of Heinicke. We played PJ. I forget his last name.
I do too. You're forgetting Kyle Allen. That was a big one.
And Kyle Allen. I knew I was forgetting someone. Honestly, yeah. It's Baker. Honestly, Kyle Allen was like pretty mediocre, and that by our standards is good. I'm still gonna go with Baker. I think I'd say Baker is the best QB we've had since prime Cam fell off.
Okay, but something about as much as I generally agree with that assessment, Baker did so little with an absolutely loaded offensive line in Cleveland. And that's what scares me, that he can't handle pressure because he's going to be facing it a lot more here.
The question mark to me, our O-line's terrible, so he'll be facing a lot of pressure. They didn't really ask him to do a whole lot. Like, it was really a ground-and-pound offense, and then him making, like, these intermediate throws. I'm fine if they want to sort of let, quote-unquote, let Baker be Baker and just see what happens. And if he throws 40 picks and we get a top three pick, that's fine. We get a QB of the future anyway. But if he's good, eyes emoji? Maybe there's something there? I don't know. But I think that after they switched from, what's his name, Freddie Kitchens, who, general bozo, probably shouldn't have gotten the job. I understand why he did. To Kevin Stefanski, who's allegedly this offensive guru, and he got nothing out of him. That just seems weird to me that Baker got worse when you brought in theoretically a better coach. So I guess I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, fair enough. It'll definitely be interesting to see because, like, you know, I love Baker in college. So many guys, especially a QB, like, they're really good QBs, and then they just don't pan out because, I mean, generally I'd say it's because if you're getting drafted high, you're ending up in bad situations. But Baker's bad situation got sorted out at least last year. He wasn't in the bad situation anymore.
I mean, he's also been sort of his own worst – well, sort of his own worst enemy because he had a shoulder injury last year. Now, I don't know how severe it is. He played through it. But I'm sure that it impacted his ability to make some of these throws and probably made him a little bit nervous when he's facing down pressure. So hopefully he's gotten it all sorted over the offseason and we can see what a fully healthy Baker can do with a coach that has literally no choice but to put his faith into him.
Well, I suppose Darnold is a choice.
Darnold is a choice, but I mean, Darnold almost got Matt Rhule fired, so I would be shocked if he turns back to Darnold again.
Yeah, it's fair. Also, it's kind of whack that Matt Rhule is still there, all things considered, but he gets another chance.
I was happy with the hire when it happened. He has done nothing to inspire faith since then. I thought we should have fired him at the end of last season, but at the very least, at the end of this season, if we suck, he gets fired, Baker gets sent to the curb, Darnold's cap hit comes off the books, and hopefully we're bad enough to get a good pick and start fresh with a new coach and a new GM. That's my hope. Even like, it's basically, if we win, we win, and we are good, and I can be happy about that. And if we lose, I can be happy about what the future holds.
So here's my question to you. What do you do then when you have like some really elite pieces like Christian McCaffrey? His timeline doesn't really fit, I would say, if you need to go on through a rebuild, because he's been injured, and I mean, he's still youngish. He still has like a full contract left in him, I would say. But, you know, running backs are replaceable. Do you think you try and milk your assets for value, like him, maybe DJ Moore?
I think for receivers, at least, they've got a longer timeline, so I'm fine holding on to DJ Moore, especially since our receivers were so bad for like the majority of the Cam era. For CMC, though, I was in favor. There were like some rumblings about him getting traded last year around the deadline. I'm fine if they decide to trade him. The only thing that's tough is you want a guy that'll put butts in seats, and that's what he is. He's like probably our most famous player. So, I mean, yeah, you sort of got to do that calculus. But I'm totally fine trading him if we can get fair value. The problem is running backs are so devalued, I don't even know if people would really want to spend to go get him. But it is what it is.
Maybe it'll be different, though, because he's white.
Maybe because you can put him on a poster for your racist fans.
You can put him on a poster. You can invite him to schools. You can bring him everywhere.
Yeah.
You can put a thumbs up next to him. Yeah, it's a cool guy. And he fits my complexion, doesn't he?
Yeah. What team do you want to talk about next? Where do you want to go in the South?
I want to save your best team, the Bucks, for last. So
okay,
let's go Falcons. Your
Falcons are going to be another contender for the first overall pick. The Dirty Birds are going to be like horrifically awful.
Okay, I suppose that's fair. I do like Kyle Pitts, but that's really about it.
I like Kyle Pitts. I think he's going to put up some good numbers, but your QB options are Marcus Mariota, who is one of the people I've been the most wrong about in my life in the NFL, and Desmond Ridder, who wasn't, you know, particularly impressive in college. Not that he was terrible. He was just, like, fine. And they've got a roster that is highly depleted at basically every position, and I just...
Tight end, which is the most important in the league.
Except tight end, so I just don't see it. I think they're probably going to be worse than the Panthers, sort of no matter what we do. They'll beat us one time because they always beat us at least once. But I think this is a lost season for them, and they'll be back next year, hopefully with a QB.
All right. I mean, that's fair. I think I heard some good stuff with Ridder out of training camp, and if he pans out, you know, great for them. He certainly has a higher ceiling than Mariota does at this point. But that could be same for like a Walnut.
In the college football playoff, it was concerning to me when they played. I believe they played Bama. I think they played Bama or Georgia. They played one or the other.
I thought Oregon faced Ohio State.
What? Desmond Ridder.
I thought we saw Mariota. Okay.
Continue. Yeah. So right. Cincinnati played, I believe, Alabama. Maybe it was Georgia, and he had probably 10 passes batted down at the line. It was like insanity. I've never seen anything like it. That makes me. And he was then when he finally had guys that were open, he was like missing them too far, missing them too short. So he did not inspire a lot of confidence in me against the closest thing in college you'll come to NFL caliber competition on defense.
Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, it's better to kick the tires on him than probably Mariota, but I mean, I don't see how they win more than like 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, I just forgot that Ridder was even in there. That's why I said what I said. But yeah, I think they're pretty far in the dumpster. but hopefully they can build something. At least having one generational player could be enough to push things a bit further than it would have been otherwise. So, in that case, let's go to the Saints. I think they're a pretty good team, clearly, but it's going to be interesting what it's like now that Jameis Winston is fully running their offense.
I think Jameis sort of got a bad rap in New Orleans because he got hurt so early. He had a crazy week one, which is obviously unsustainable. But I think game manager Jameis, game manager Jabu, I think they could have something going. And last year, they had an absolutely atrocious wide receiving core. And I think they've done an at least decent job of shoring it up so that they don't have to start Traquan Smith every week. I think they should be improved, and I would expect them to be on the edge of the playoff race on the wild card end, probably somewhere in the 9-8 to, I'd say right around 9-8, maybe one or two games better, maybe one or two games worse, and we'll see where we go from there.
All right, fair enough. I mean, I don't know. It's just interesting considering that can Michael Thomas come back to being who he was? Obviously, Jameis is not Drew Brees, and Michael Thomas is not necessarily like a deep ball receiver, which I guess is Jameis' specialty. But, it'd be interesting to see what that full potential of that tandem is. Not to mention, obviously, they have Alvin Kamara. I think their O-line got weaker. I'm pretty sure Ramczyk left, or maybe Armstead. One of them left. But they drafted some guys, and it'll just be interesting. I think, for me, maybe the biggest thing is just, you know, that Sean Payton retired, and now Dennis Allen is their head coach. Maybe as his disciple, he'll follow very smoothly in his footsteps, but you never know.
I think the key to success for the Saints will be limit turnovers, get the balls to your playmakers in space. If you are down a lot of points late in the game, that's when you dial up the Jameis special and sort of just let him go to town. But I think they've got Jarvis Landry. They got Michael Thomas. I like Chris Olave out of college. I think he's an interesting prospect. I think the offense should be improved. And it'll just be nice to have more than one guy that's a threat on offense, in my opinion. So we'll see. Obviously, Sean Payton retiring is a huge blow. And we'll see how it goes. I'm still not really sure if they actually like believe in this guy or if they're setting him up for like a one season like patsy downfall so they can have a high pick next year and get rid of him no problems. I don't really know, but I would expect them to at least try and contend. The NFC isn't that deep, and the good teams in the NFC aren't that good. So if I'm them, I'm thinking if we can get in, like who knows what could happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a situation where they're setting up Dennis Allen to fail. I think there's enough faith that they're just going to let it run its course, but, you know, they're willing to accept it not being a good year because it's definitely not a roster that's ready to win it all. And, you know, if it's not going to do well, they might as well cave early, right, so that they have better draft capital. I don't know. I think it definitely is a good enough roster to compete, quote-unquote. It's just a question of how the rest of the NFC shakes up with a whole seven teams still making the playoffs. There's three teams that are not division winners that do it. The Saints could be in that group. Obviously, one of the Packers or the Vikings would be in that group. Most likely, one of the Eagles or Cowboys, whichever doesn't win the division, would be in that group. I don't think I'd say the same for NFC West, and my apologies. Of course, definitely a few teams are going to be in the race there. So it'll be tough for the Saints, but
I think possible. The NFC North, it's the Vikings and the Packers, whichever one doesn't win the division, as you said. The NFC West, anyone besides the Seahawks could grab one of the spots. I think the NFC South, it's going to be the Bucs or the Saints, presuming the Bucs win the division, it'll probably be the Saints in the mix. And then the NFC East is terrible, so whichever team is second best could be in the mix. So I think the Saints have, you know, an okay shot at making it, especially since the NFC West has to play itself so many times. So if I'm them, you sort of take a stab, see what happens. If you're terrible after like 8 weeks, you could blow it up and tank.
Exactly. All right. Now let's go to the best team, well, at least the team with the best shot of winning the division, in our opinion, the Bucks. I'm not really high on them this year, you know, mainly because of all their offensive line woes.
The offensive line woes are obviously not ideal, not great. But I think the Bucks are getting slept on just because Brady's had such a weird offseason. But ultimately speaking, he's sitting at home in his, like, temple, and he is doing his TB12 exercise routine, and he is staring at his, like, old-fashioned bulletin boards with, like, newspaper clippings of everyone doubting him. And he's sitting there, and he burns them every day, and he breathes in the fumes like incense, and that is going to fuel him. Maybe not too. He was second place in MVP voting last year, literally last year. So I think hopefully the health will be better since they played less games. I think the Bucks are being heavily, heavily slept on, and I would not be surprised if we're firing the cannons on a Super Bowl championship. I wouldn't be surprised. The division isn't that strong. They got a hard schedule besides that, but everyone's back. Everyone besides the O-line's more or less healthy. They got Julio Jones for depth. It wouldn't shock me. I think we're gearing up for one last ride, one last dance, and then Tom Brady can have his last dance documentary in like a decade from now.
I think that's possible. I definitely think that's the bullish case, though. Best case scenario, if that O-line is as bad as it's looked at times during the preseason, they could be in trouble. And, you know, I would still say they win the division, but, like, I'm trying to imagine them facing, say, the 49ers in the playoffs and just getting absolutely pummeled by that pressure.
I think that in an absolute best case scenario, obviously they win the Super Bowl. I think an absolute worst case scenario, Tom Brady like tears his ACL or something and they suck and they win three games behind Kyle Trask. I think the most realistic outcome, they win the division. They probably win their first round matchup. I think the divisional round is like the bar. I think they will hit at least the divisional round and we'll see from there.
I think that's fair. It'd just be interesting how the matchup plays out. So, like, if the Vikings win the division and then it's the Packers, you know, or if it's whoever the second place NFC West team is, it'll definitely be something worth watching. Just because, the team has more holes than it definitely did in its Super Bowl run. That's all but certain.
All right, you want to go East or you want to go West?
It's a good question. Let's save the West for last because
it's the Thunderdome.
West is best. West is best.
You're disrespecting the Beast Coast.
That's true. But Beast Mode went to Seattle, and he stayed in Oakland or Vegas. So you know, I think Beast is still more on West, honestly. So. I'm gonna reverse pace. Let's start off with the greatest team in football history. Dem boys.
Shoot them up. It's the Dallas Cowboys. Pew pew.
Pew pew pew. I mean, I don't think that I think they're getting slept on, you know? I think they're getting slept on. They lost Amari Cooper, but like how important really was Amari Cooper?
I have been burned by this before. The Dallas Cowboys are due. Not due a Super Bowl, I would say, but they're due for a deep playoff run, I think. The division is cheesecake. It's a weak conference.
I like the Eagles. We can dispute that. I like the Eagles.
I mean, I think it's fair to like the Eagles, but I mean, I just feel like the Cowboys have a really solid team. Mike McCarthy is a more proven product than Nick Sirianni, and Dak is the best QB in the division, probably like far and away. So I think they've got a good recipe to success, assuming Zeke doesn't fall off the wagon and assuming the offensive line can be, like, serviceable. I see no reason why they shouldn't win the division.
And even if Zeke falls off the wagon, you still got Tony Pollard, who's one of the best backups.
Yeah, so it's just – I think they're in the driver's seat, and maybe they'll do Cowboys things and shoot themselves in the foot, but I think it's very tough for them to not win the division.
You know what's interesting? Like, it's not a fantasy podcast, but – Dak Prescott is, like, going at, like, QB 10, QB 11 in fantasy drafts all the time. And, you know, this guy is getting paid redonkulous money, and he has had blisteringly high passing yards for the past few years now. So I just don't get why everyone's starting to hate on him.
I think people just get, like, fatigue. I don't know, or they think they're smarter than they are. Aaron Rodgers has been falling, too. It's like, even if you don't think he's going to win a third MVP, he's just won two in a row. Like, he shouldn't be going as the QB, like, 8 to 12.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely true. But I think with that, it's because, in this case, for once, he has no receivers, right? You know, Lazard could theoretically be his best guy. Dak still has CeeDee Lamb. Dak still has Dalton Schultz, you know?
And Michael Gallup will be back.
Yeah, and Jalen Tolbert looked good out of college, you know? Like, it's not going to be the same as one of these highly drafted rookie wideouts, but Jalen Tolbert can put up some numbers.
Who do you want to talk about next?
I mean, I guess the counter argument would be the Philadelphia Eagles for being the best in this division.
The Eagles? I don't really know what to make of the Eagles. Of all the teams in the NFL, the Eagles and, like, maybe the Bengals are the teams, and sort of the Ravens, I'm, like, not quite sure what to make of, because they could be, like, really good. I'm not sold. I was high on Jalen Hurts coming out of the draft, but as your QB1, and I don't feel like he was properly unleashed next year. Maybe that's why they got new coaching, but I don't know. It's just, and it's not like they fixed their receiving woes either. I'm not sold.
They got A.J. Brown.
They got A.J. Brown, but they added A.J. Brown to an empty room. Like, he's like...
Did you just call Devonta Smith an empty room?
I like Devonta Smith. I think Devonta Smith is probably more of a wide receiver three at this point. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I'm not super high on the Eagles, but they could surprise me.
I obviously think it depends heavily on the development of Jalen Hurts as a passer, but I definitely like their starting two wide receivers. And at the end of the day, their running back room is fine, and their defense is adequate in some areas more than others, and their O-line is actually really good. So I think that's definitely enough to get them back in the playoffs, which they were in last year. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they won the division.
It wouldn't shock me if they won anywhere between 4 and 12 games. That they could win anywhere in that range, and I'd be like, yeah, it seems about right. And it really will all come down to how they utilize A.J. Brown, how Jalen Hurts has developed in the offseason, and Nick Sirianni's development as a coach.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Let's go to our boy Danny Dimes. That's what I'm thinking.
I'm ready to break some new ground, Alex.
Oh, yeah?
I am high on the New York Giants. Really? I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. You're big drinking. Blue, baby. In New York! Concrete jungle where dreams are made of! Let's go. Let's go. It's time. The Giants are back. I'm ready.
For the record, everyone, Cade McCurdy is doing this from his office during the workday, breaking out Empire State of Mind. I love it. I love it so much.
I regret nothing. I don't know what they've done. That they had a great draft. I believe in Brian Daboll. I think I'm going to heavily preface the statement by saying, in no way am I saying Danny Dimes is anywhere near as good as Josh Allen, but they are similar-ish. Like, they've got a sort of similar makeup. Like, Danny Dimes is mobile. He's got a big arm. He has accuracy issues. I think they could take the step. If Brian Daboll can figure out how to unleash Danny Dimes to be a league average passer, I think the tools are there.
All right, the only thing I can truly agree on is his mobility. He has really high velocity, especially when he's falling downward. But it will be interesting. I don't know if I have faith in Daboll, because I thought, you know, it's mostly a Josh Allen thing. But at the same time, I didn't like Josh Allen now at college. So clearly it has to be something in that coaching staff, whether it's McDermott or Daboll. So it's maybe two things, and I also could have just been wrong on evaluating him as a prospect. But at the end of the day, New York Giants definitely have some interesting pieces. Not only do they have Danny Dimes throwing, they have Kadarius Toney, who was drafted with the pick that the Bears gave them originally in the trade down, and he's definitely flashed some good stuff. They drafted Wandale Robinson. They still have Sterling Shepard, maybe Slayton, I'm not even certain. Kenny Golladay. I love Kenny Golladay in Detroit. He's completely washed now, but who knows? Maybe he could unlock something once again.
I think that last year the defense was solid, but didn't generate a lot of turnovers. But they were solid, and it would be hard for the offense to be much worse. I think there's no way the offense could be any worse. Maybe I should knock on wood, but like, they were so atrocious last year. They were so hard to watch. Like, I just can't see them being worse. If they take any step forward and the defense stays, you know, about the same, generates a few more turnovers.
I mean, they drafted Kevon Thibodeau. You better be getting better.
Yeah, they got Thibodeau. Like, they had a great draft. Kadarius Toney can't stay healthy, but if he could, like, he had one of the best games of anyone last year with Mike Glennon at QB. I think they're going to be better than people think.
Yeah, that all makes sense with thinking about just how the Giants' offense is going to go. Not to mention that I personally think Saquon's going to have a good year. But yeah, I think that's really about it. I think for both of us, the team we care for the least in this division is the Washington Commanders.
I will go out on a limb here, Alex, and say that I think the Washington Commanders are the team I care about the least in all of football. I don't think there's any team I care about less than the Commanders.
Do you think that your answer would be different if Taylor Heinicke was still behind the helm?
No, even with Taylor Heinicke, I didn't really care. Like, I like Heinicke, and they're like guys on the Commanders I like, but I just don't care about them. I don't think about them. They mean nothing to me. I don't even hate them. I don't like them. I don't hate them. I'm just completely ambivalent to whatever they're doing.
I see. Well, fair enough. I don't think that they're the most exciting team. I think that, you know, obviously there's some pretty egregious stuff that seems to have happened within the walls of their organization, but just as a football team, you know, I don't know, Carson Wentz, it'll be interesting. Clearly the Colts didn't see him as being the long-term future. They traded him after one season, but the man almost took the Eagles to a Super Bowl. I mean, he probably would have, the argument is to be made, because he was almost MVP that year before the injury. But, you know, his career is just getting covered by all this uncertainty and what-ifs. I don't even think he was bad for the Colts, you know? He could have been better, but I thought he was pretty decent. I guess Matt Ryan's probably better in the long term, but I don't know. I think he's getting underappreciated. I think Washington's probably getting underappreciated, but there's not much to love there except maybe Terry McLaurin.
I think that Carson Wentz behind closed doors must be not a good teammate, because I think he was perfectly serviceable last year for the Colts. He had a few back-breaking turnovers, I'll grant you that, but I think by and large, like, he was fine. And the upgrade to Matt Ryan isn't that much of an upgrade. Maybe it's better that you have a guy you can rely on to not turn the ball over so much. But I mean, I don't think it's that huge of an upgrade, but I just don't think his teammates like him, and I'm not entirely sure why. That being said, I think the Commanders will be like medium bad, but not terrible. They'll probably win about somewhere between five and eight games. But I don't really have much else to say about them because, as I said, they mean nothing to me.
The one thing I'll point out is that you gave a lower estimate of what you think could happen with the Eagles than you did with the Commanders.
Well, the Eagles have a much wider range. Like, the Eagles could win 4 games and I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. They could win 12 games and be like, yeah, that makes sense. The Commanders, there's no way they sniff 12 wins. I don't think they win less than 5. I think they are perfectly adequate enough that they should beat whatever the bad teams on their schedule are, and they probably will get shellacked by the good teams. And they're probably good for, like, one weird NFC East win, as most of them usually are.
Fair enough. Do you think one guy that's pretty cool, Chase Young. I think his numbers, you know, were pretty underwhelming so far considering all the hype he had out of college. Do you think he changes things? Do you think he gets better? I don't know. I like to be optimistic about him.
I think they just had, like, a weird year. They weren't really playing for anything. They didn't really have much hope of any kind of sustained success, but they weren't bad enough to be bad. They were just kind of, like, aggressively mediocre. I'm sure
that sounds a lot like this year, though, don't you think?
I think so, too. But I would hope that with Carson Wentz, at least, they could maybe have some faith and be like, why not us, and see what happens. But I expect the defense to be improved. I believe Ron Rivera, is done with his cancer treatment, so he should have a more active role in the defense. And hopefully he trends in the right direction, maybe has like a year three make the leap. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, fair enough. But, yeah, that's really about it for the NFC least. And now it's off to go to the NFC best.
The Thunderdome, let's go!
You a big fan of the Thunderdome?
I am a big fan of the Thunderdome. There's going to be 4 guys go in, and at best, 3 guys come out. And I don't even think 3 will. I think 2 will. I think we'll see the Rams and one of the Niners or Cardinals.
So you do still think the Rams are the best team in that division?
I don't even know if they have – I think the Niners have the highest ceiling, but I think the Rams are the most consistent, and they will at least make the playoffs. I'd be stunned if they didn't make the playoffs, barring the Matt Stafford injury being way worse than advertised.
Understandable. So we can talk about the ceiling of this division. So let's start with the basement, though, and ye old Seattle Seahawks.
Seahawks going to be one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in football this year, I think. They're going to be bad. They're going to be boring. I don't see them winning more than 4 or 5 games in a best-case scenario. Geno Smith, one of the most uninspiring quarterbacks in the league, and they got Drew Lock behind him. This is like the worst quarterback competition ever. It's like watching vultures fight over scraps. I'm not going to watch a Seahawks game this year. I'd be shocked. I'll watch the Monday night game, and then after that, I'm not going to think about him again, and I'll rest easy at night.
Oh, right. They do play Monday night. Who are they facing?
They're playing the Broncos. Broncos country. Let's ride.
It's true. Yeah. Ah, man. That's probably going to be a popular pick in their Survivor League.
That would be probably my pick.
Yeah. Anyways, there's just so little to say, really. Other than that, you know, it's going to be terrible. And because I have no personal allegiance to them, I don't have much to cheer for. You know, Rashad Penny has some flashes, but they just drafted Kenneth Walker. Clearly, they don't have faith. DK Metcalf is obviously a physical specimen, but doesn't really matter when you have a nobody throwing to you. Tyler Lockett, I'm still kind of convinced that he's one of those players that only became elite because of Russell Wilson. It'll be interesting to see what bad QB play does for him. I'm not saying he's like that necessarily anymore, but that's definitely what happened with his trajectory in the league.
I think that the most interesting thing in Seattle will be the running back competition. I like Rashad Penny. I like Kenneth Walker as well. I'm intrigued to see who's the starter come season's end. You know, it's sort of like the offense is like a Lamborghini, but it's got the engine of like, I don't know, like a really old Kia Soul. Yeah, so I just like it's they've got the pieces to be a good offense, but they don't have a guy to drive it. So they're gonna be mediocre at best, and I really think they're gonna be pretty bad. You know,
and not only that, whatever.
I think they'd be smart to have a 1 year stealth tank, jettison Drew Luck lock next year, have a top three pick come in, heir to the throne, and unlock the offense next year. But
and then, you know, with defense, I just think they're so far away from being competent. It's really unfortunate for them because, you know, they gave up draft capital to get Jamal Adams.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like everybody in real time, from Seahawks fans to Jets fans, knew that the Jets won that trade. I think Jamal Adams is a good player if used correctly, but he's got a weird skill set for safety. I mean, it's tough, and it really set them back, I think. So we'll see how it goes. But that was just a hard one.
Indeed it was. Indeed it was. But yeah, at least it's not possible really to get much worse than they are right now.
Yep.
Barring, you know, atrocious injury to one of their starting offensive skill players. But yeah, I mean, I guess they, because of my personal preferences to the Bears, they're probably in, you know, very similar positions. I don't know what the rest of the NFL world thinks. Do you think the Bears are better than the Seahawks? Like, is there for you? Is it even worth comparing trash can to dumpster bin?
The Seahawks offense is going to be better than the Bears offense, and the Bears defense is going to be better than the Seahawks defense, in my view. Both should probably be run first teams. At least the Seahawks have a credible idea of a receiving option outside. Sorry, Darnell Mooney, you're not a wide receiver one. My apologies.
We have 25-year-old rookie Velus Jones now.
I think the Seahawks will be marginally better, but I think both of you guys are – I think you, those two teams, the Falcons, the Texans, the Jags, maybe the Jets, depending on what Zach Wilson looks like, are going to be the team sniffing around for the first overall pick, in my view.
It's crazy that Joe Flacco is still a starter in this league.
I mean, Zach Wilson was going to be the starter until he got hurt.
No, I know.
It is nuts. He's still kicking around all these years later. Like, I thought he was toast about four different times, but here he is.
Yeah, it's always interesting. But yeah, let's move to the up and up. Arizona Cardinals. I don't know. I don't really like them. You know, I just don't really care for them very much. The DeAndre Hopkins suspension obviously hurts. They traded for Marquise Brown, and I don't think that was great to give up a first rounder for him. I think, again, this is kind of the chemistry thing with college. Marquise Brown went to Oklahoma. Kyler Murray went to Oklahoma. You know, these guys are going to connect.
I think that the Cardinals have really flubbed the construction of their team. And the reason why I say that is they had Kyler, who was good, but, you know, wasn't at an MVP level, wasn't like at an all-pro level. It was just, you know, he's an above-average QB, but young, with room to grow. So in my view, if you've got a QB like that, you surround him with young talent, you let him grow together, and you wait till you know exactly what you have before you start making these, like, all-in type moves. Instead, I'm pretty sure they have one of the oldest rosters in football, which just seems insane to me considering Kyler is like 25. And I just feel like when these old guys leave, and I'm not even sold on Kyler 100%, but when these old guys like retire, get injured, like are no longer worth the money they're being paid, they're just going to have the wheels fall off, which I don't think will be this year. I think they probably have one, two more seasons left before they got to replace all these guys. But I just think it was such a bizarre choice to make. Additionally, Cliff Kingsbury, first half coach of the year, does not inspire me considering the wheels fall off the second it hits week 9, including from his college career. Like, that to me is a red flag. And I like Cliff Kingsbury. I was high on, I thought that was a good idea for a coaching hire, but I don't know. I think they could have approached this better. I think they'll have a fine season. I think they're the odd man out of the top three teams in this division. I just don't think they'll be able to execute down the stretch. I did like the Hollywood Brown trade. I think he's underrated. But I mean, it's a lot. It's a big price to give up for who he is at this moment in his career.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess it'll be interesting. Obviously, they'll have four very difficult games every year facing both the Rams and the Niners, and then maybe they'll benefit nicely from having a third place schedule because they're definitely one of the top third place teams in the NFC. But it'll definitely be them being on the fringe of making the playoffs, if at all, considering just how many teams are potentially better. I think there was a lot of drama during the offseason with the whole Kyler contract, and I mean, I personally find it to be an overpay, but, you know, it's tough getting a QB, and he's good enough and young enough that I guess that's what the market is nowadays. I don't know.
I think the nature of QB contracts now, the strategy should be you want to lock these guys up as early as you can for as long as you can, because after like 2-3 years, they're going to go from like a top 5 paid guy to like a top 15. Like Josh Allen was, I think, the second most expensive when he signed his extension, and now he's already down to like 8th because all these guys keep plopping in over him that are not as good as Josh Allen. And Mahomes, sort of the same idea. He was the number one paid QB. Now he's down to like 4th or 5th, and I still, for my money, I would take him first of any QB in the league. So I think the key is you just lock these guys in as fast as you can, and the longer you wait, like with the Dak Prescott situation from a few years back, the more it's going to cost you in the long run anyway.
Yeah, makes sense. And speaking of guys like that, now we have like Lamar just sitting in, figuring out how much money he's going to get.
Lamar's seeing these contracts get signed, he's thinking, bring me my money. But it does make it hard because he doesn't have an agent, and that can create tension.
Yeah, and obviously, from what I've been hearing is that, you know, he's just trying to get as much of it guaranteed as possible, probably because of lovely Jimmy Haslam and his signature on the Deshaun Watson contract.
I would say it's half because of the Deshaun contract and half because of all these guys. Like, normally you don't think of QB as an injury-prone or, like, risk-facing position. Like, you'll get hurt, but it's not, like, at the rate these other positions do. But with Lamar's skill set, he faces a lot more risk than a lot of these other guys of a debilitating injury. So I sort of understand where he's coming from, wanting more of it guaranteed.
Fair enough. Well, in either case, this is not a Lamar Jackson podcast. So let us move forward to the San Francisco 49ers. I really like what this team has going for them. I don't know, though, where exactly Trey Lance is now that he's supposed to be the starter, but they're still brought in Jimmy G for another year. But then again, hopefully they've had so many bad injuries, you know, on defense that's all healed up, and then they draft Drake Jackson too, so that front seven should be pretty menacing if he makes the immediate impact they hope he does. And, you know, it's just a scary football team top to bottom.
This team is quite possibly on paper the most disgusting team in the National Football League, with the only question mark again being, who is Trey Lance? What can Trey Lance do? Trey Lance has otherworldly potential. However, that being said, I'm pretty sure he has played the least snaps of football at any level between like the start of high school and being named an NFL starting quarterback, and that has cause for some concern. Because no matter how talented you are, no matter how much arm talent you have, no matter how much leg talent you have, the NFL is a different beast. So this team will go as Trey Lance goes. If Trey Lance sucks, they go back to Jimmy G. They probably are capping out again somewhere around the NFC division or conference championship. If Trey Lance is good, this team could very well be the Super Bowl champs. But it's so hard to make the call because we don't know anything about the guy. We've like barely seen him. He played a little bit last year. He wasn't particularly inspiring. He's had a whole year to figure it out. The receiving core is great. The running backs themselves, the talent is interesting, but they know how to utilize and get the most out of them. The defense is great. Front seven's great. Corners are great. they like gave the Rams tremendous issues last year. It's just a matter of, can they put it all together, and can Trey Lance be the guy that they thought he was going to be when they traded three first rounders for him?
I don't know if they needed to. I don't really remember that draft in great detail. I remember obviously the whole shenanigans of like Shanahanigan, if you will, of saying, "Oh, yes, we're going to draft Mac Jones," but nope, we went for Trey Lance instead. I just remember, you know, like the year before, Justin Fields was like a clear number two in that draft class, is what they were thinking, and then he falls to Chicago. Trey Lance came out of nowhere. I would say, you know, from North Dakota State, really, and he just flew up the draft boards. So what do you think his potential is like in comparison to Fields? You know, I obviously am a Bears fan, so I'm very optimistic. So I figure I'd ask a neutral party.
I thought it was hilarious in real time that Justin Fields goes out, has one of the grittiest performances you'll ever see in a college football playoff, and his draft stock fell for the next like 3 months. He just like free fell from the second guy on everybody's board to like 15. It's like, really? So I think that Trey Lance has a much higher ceiling. As of last year, Justin Fields was the better football player at that time. I would say right now, because I'm a bit of a hater in my heart, that Justin Fields is still better than Trey Lance right now, although I could be proven wrong. I think the idea of Trey Lance is some guy not as mobile as Lamar, but like somewhere between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson is the platonic ideal of what Trey Lance can be. But I think in all likelihood, he's going to look like budget Justin Fields, and we'll even see how good Justin Fields looks. That's my take on it. But Trey Lance also has a better offense around him, and Justin Fields is on what is probably the worst offense in football, no offense, besides the Falcons. So I don't know exactly what we're going to be looking at.
I can't really blame you for that. It's a pretty bad offense. I like some guys for sure. But I think Monty would be starting in a different team.
I think Monty would be starting, and I think Kmet would start on a lot of teams, and I think Mooney would be a great wide receiver too on a lot of teams. But they just don't have – they have no, like, top-end guy where I'm like, yeah, this guy is a dog. They don't have anybody like that.
Yeah, we have no dogs. Maybe on defense. I think Roquan Smith's a dog.
Well, no, on defense, you got some dogs. You got guys certified, got that dog in them. On offense, though, I don't know about all that.
Yeah. If Fields can take the leap, he can bring all of those guys into dog territory with him.
If Fields takes the leap, I would be legitimately floored. Having nothing to do with Justin Fields, I like Justin Fields, but I just think they have put him in a position to fail, and I expect him to fail. So if he makes the leap, I would be happier for him than anyone sans you.
I think our offensive line, not good by any means, but it's getting better. I think we made some pretty good signings at the end of the free agency period. So I think it's going to be better than people anticipate, and I just think we're getting slept on a little bit. Don't get me wrong, we're pretty awful. We should be very clearly contending for a top pick, but I think, you know, we're closer to being complete than people think we are.
Fair enough. To bring it back to the Niners, the Niners are completely dependent on Trey Lance, as I've sort of hammered home. If he's bad, if he's not good, that is like a really big indictment on the Shanahan era in San Fran.
Yeah, because I think so.
They spent so much to move up to get him. That's their guy. They like risked the franchise to an extent. Like, they risked this entire championship window on this one guy. If he's bad, I expect someone's head's got to roll, even though I think he's a good head coach. But I mean, I like John Lynch too, but that's such a big swing to mess up.
Yeah, it's true. It's a pretty big swing. Definitely a smaller swing than the Bears took for Fields, for instance. That makes sense. I guess probably if any culture could develop it, it would hopefully be the Niners. You know, there's just so much around him that if he doesn't succeed here, he wouldn't succeed anywhere, right?
I think he's in like the inverse of the Fields situation. Fields, I think, is talented, but has been put in a situation of fail. I think Lance is like this enormous question mark, but has been given every tool he needs. So if he can't pull it off, I think he was a bust from day one, and you got to reevaluate your entire process.
Yeah. I guess the question then would be, I mean, not to answer now, but Jimmy G took him to a Super Bowl once. How far really are they from being able to do it again? The Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams bring back most of their guys, but I don't know. I'm just not super optimistic for some reason. I really liked the Rams last year, but I don't know. I feel like this is an AFC year, so if you're not winning a Super Bowl after winning the Super Bowl, it's almost like you lost. You feel me?
I feel you. I think the reason for optimism is the AFC is going to be such a bloodbath that whoever comes out of the AFC is going to be tired and will have played a bunch of difficult games in a row. I think the Rams will almost certainly make the playoffs. I still think they are one of the most talented teams in football. And I think as long as Matt Stafford's elbow holds up, I think they'll make the Super Bowl and have a really good chance to win it. Because I think whoever comes out of the NFC will have won some tough games, don't get me wrong. But I don't think they'll have played anywhere near the caliber of opponent of the people coming out of the AFC. So I would expect, if I'm the Rams, I'm happy to get in. I would hope to get, if not the bye, like a top two or three seed. And I would let the cards fall where they may. That being said, the AFC is much more talented than the NFC this year, and iron sharpens iron. So I'm not 100% sure. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely think it's iron sharpens iron kind of situation. That's more my school of thought, because it's by the time they get through the gauntlet and they get to the Rams, you know, obviously the Rams are another team in the gauntlet, not to like sell them short, but it's just that the team is going to solidify, crystallize, and mature during the playoff run, and the Rams are not going to have gone through that same phase. They have this experience of being in the Super Bowl, but there's also always just like the honeymoon phase. The guys are going to, I feel like, naturally, you know, care a bit less, try a little less hard, because they're not drinking the Kool-Aid, not that, but like, you know, just soaking in the joy of already being the winners, that they don't care as much. They don't push as extra hard to cross that finish line, you know?
I agree with you to an extent. I don't expect them to get the bye in the NFC. I expect them to sort of coast and go on cruise control. But I think they have that championship level switch that they'll hit right around week 12, week 13. And I think they're going to cruise into the playoffs. And I don't know, barring a Trey Lance leap that I don't really believe in, I don't see anyone besides maybe the Bucks and maybe the Vikings/Packers being able to apply any pressure to these guys when they get to the playoffs. I just think the roster is so loaded, both on the offense and defense, that it's going to be hard for these NFC teams to compete, in my opinion.
Not even them boys?
No, not especially not them boys. Them boys are going to fold like a chair at some point. It's the Mike McCarthy guarantee that has prevented Aaron Rodgers from probably being a multiple-time Super Bowl champion. So I expect him to snake bite them at some point, and usually the least opportune time.
That does, in fact, seem to be the formula, having watched Mike McCarthy for many a year.
I'll be honest, to go on a bit of a tangent, he fooled me. I was a big proponent of him getting fired from the Packers. He took his year off. He said, oh, I've been watching all the film. Oh, I'm a new coach. I've learned where I've been wrong. I need to be more aggressive. I was drinking the Kool-Aid. And then he came back and he did the exact same things he did the first time. I was like, oh, my God, that's on me. That's on me. That's on me. I think it was Maya Angelou who said, when a guy shows you who they are, believe them the first time. And that's on me. I don't know why I gave Mike McCarthy the benefit of the doubt. He didn't deserve it. That's my fault. That's on me. I want to apologize to all the Cowboys fans out there. I want to apologize to my NFL fellow fans. That's on me, and it won't happen again. I've learned from my mistakes.
It was George Bush who said, fool me once, Shame on you.
Fool me twice. You can't get fooled again.
Yeah,
Classic quote.
He's pretty great. I mean, I don't think... Did you hear that quote live? I only know it because of the J. Cole song.
I knew it. My dad talks about it all the time. He loves that quote. But I know it mainly from the J. Cole song.
Fair enough. J. Cole, a legend. North Carolina boy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I really think that about wraps it up for discovering the whole NFC picture. Thanks for taking the time, Cade. You have any last thoughts?
Last thoughts is San Francisco, better pray that Trey Lance is that guy. Otherwise, they're in some real trouble. I think the NFC will be the middle half of the NFC will be more interesting than the top end and the bottom end. I think the playoffs will probably be boring, but I think that whoever comes out of the NFC will have a pretty solid shot against the AFC champs.
All right. And I guess my final thought is I don't want the Bears to suck, but we might as well suck so hard that we get that first overall pick.
Love that. Actually, I've got one more thing. The people of America need to know that if the Panthers win week one, we've won our Super Bowl. If we lose week one, you might never hear from me again. I might go and completely off the grid. That's my Super Bowl. We got to win week one. After that, I don't care.
Well, let's hope that Baker is ready to destroy the Browns, as he self-proclaimed. All right. Thanks, America. This has been Hit Trap. Peace out.